I'm here in the lovely Hotel Cabana Resort, Cabana Bay Resort in Orlando, Florida. But that can't keep me away from you guys. So here I am with the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast where we discuss all things Wheel of Time. And you know me, I am your storm leader, your Soravan Mihail, Josh.
I am your Amenkan Mihail, your flag leader, Daniel.
And I'm your Bajan Mihail, your battle leader, that's Andrew. Great.
And we're here tonight.
No matter how many times we say it, it always awesome. Just feels corny to say out loud. Like it kind of feels though? Like it kind of feels like a weird version of LARPing that's not as cool because we're not actually like hitting people with swords.
If we were going to draw comparisons, swords. I'd say that Soravan Gar is like the Jedi Consulars, and the Bajan Gar is like the Jedi Sentinels. Each have their different focuses. So you got yourself a focus.
What about
there.
The Guardians?
I'm going to nod and pretend that
the Guardians are over in the Amenkan Gar.
Why would that make sense?
I don't know, because things make sense and sometimes things don't make sense. But what's important is that it's another time for the Black Tower Podcast to deliver you your weekly dose of taint. And I hope, I'm sorry. Wait, do we have to change it to weekly dose of corruption or can we just claim taint?
No, we're just
claiming taint. I want to claim taint.
It's happening. We are going to hashtag say taint regardless of what the show says.
Hashtag taint claim. Rafe, hashtag if you don't want taint, can we have it?
Make not sure you corruption. Hashtag not my corruption at hashtag not my corruption.
We are joined by not a my super amazing guest this evening, whom you may have seen if you're on TikTok. Or Twitter, or YouTube, or if you're going to London for a completely random reason in a couple of days.
For when this episode comes out, you will have already seen.
Or if you've just come back
from amazing work that
there
they've
we go.
Done
yes.
in London.
So Critter XD, please introduce yourselves. Tell these fine folks all about yourself.
Hi, I'm Critter XD.
Introduce yourselves. That's
yeah.
great. How
well,
many
well, I have
cells
I have multiple
have
cells for? Actually. If, okay. if you didn't know this yet, I'm Egwene Alvear on Twitter, which counts I think as a second cell. So yeah, I do that on Twitter. I do the in character loosely in character account Egwene Alvear, and I'm as he said, I'm on TikTok, and YouTube and Twitch and Instagram and all the places. And all I even have my own places. Little Discord, so that's
just a little
intimate Discord that we all hang out in. So, yeah, I'm
not anymore.
I'm all
everybody go.
Everybody go to my Discord.
Find the Critter Discord.
Not gonna be intimate.
yeah. So that I do all kinds of Wheel of Time stuff, basically, because I'm a big fan, and that's
rock
me.
And roll.
Yeah.
And how long? And not that it matters, because we love our fans regardless of how long they've been fans. But when did you start reading the books?
I think like middle school or early high school. So I was like 14-ish, 13, 14. Yeah. Right after I read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings for the first time, then they kind of introduced me to fantasy. And then I needed,
nice.
I needed more
order.
Yeah.
You read The Hobbit, then The Lord of the Rings, then The Silmarillion, then The Wheel of Time.
Ooh, like, not The Silmarillion. but I read their... Yeah, no.
She skipped steps. She's
no,
skipping
Hobbit,
a step there.
The Hobbit caught my attention because it had a dragon on the cover. And I used to go to the library with my mom. And so I was like walking the shelves and was like, there it is. I need
that's
that
a valid reason.
Dragon.
So can I just say that, like, again, I understand why people say the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. I am fully aware of what it means and why it exists. But the number of books that I have read that have been awesome books because I walked into a bookstore or a library and went, that one looks cool, is so high.
Yeah, it got me into fantasy.
It's,
like, I judged a book by its cover.
Thing.
That's why I read the book, The Mantle of Kendis Dai. That's why I read the book, The War God's Own. Like, there's a lot of books that have a really... Authors will say if they don't have a good cover, like you're not going to get as many sales. That's just how it is. Because people do judge books by their covers.
They sure do.
You know what has great covers?
The Wheel of Time.
Like half the books in the Wheel of Time.
Half the books. Okay. They're beautiful covers. They're not they're accurate really well to the canon. Done.
I love
it. Yes, I was really gonna say beautiful. They're not word for word perfect, but they are pretty.
They're very pretty.
Land totally has a Sanchin helmet. That's the thing.
Obviously.
Dude, I have always loved that. I am so sad that wasn't actually in the book. He absolutely should have a full samurai helmet. It would be amazing.
Also, Andrew's
starting to sound like deep state conspiracy theories over here.
I think you're right. That's what it sounds like to me. Also, Andrew's getting some shade in the chat.
Always do. Always do. That's how it happens.
That's how it happens. Okay, so.
But Andrew, before we go any further, we have a reason that we're here today. But before we can tell you what that reason is, we need to tell you something very exciting. Actually, we need to tell you a number of things that are very exciting. Number one is one of your Mihails is going to be also going not to a premiere. He's not that lucky and he's not Critter. But I will be at the one in Los Angeles that's a pre-screening on the 15th. So come out and see me. I also have, thanks to...
And that one's hosted by our lovely friends over at Dragon Mount.
Also correct. If you show up, I will be having some of these because our lovely other Mihail, Josh, sent them to me from Utah. So I will have wristbands for you.
You will have wristbands.
I have also decided, regardless of what my compatriots say, that if you... Actually, I guess this
Josh,
is
Josh. He's gone rogue.
I'm also gonna put it on our Instagram and also on our Twitter. So Patreons, you're hearing it first, so you can prepare. But anybody else will hear this later. Facts. I will have one of each challenge coin at the screening, and if you find me and tell me the right phrase, I will give you one of them.
And they have to go to our Instagram to get the proper phrase day of.
So I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to go to our Instagram to find the sword coin phrase. And you're going to have to go to our Twitter to find the dragon coin phrase. Ooh. So there you go. Find all of our stuff on blacktowerpod.com. So definitely go over there. It's your one-stop shop for everything Black Tower related. It has our Instagram, it has our Twitter, it has our everything. So go over there, check it out. And while you're there, why don't you pop over to one of our lovely merchandise stores. You can either go to Spreadshirt, which has a number of our designs, or our lovely friends over at New Creations by Jen. They do have a link over on our website, and you can go grab your Frosty mugs. They are the only official Frosty mugs, except for Dusty Wheels, because he thinks he's better than us. No,
he is, though. He's right. He thinks he is, and he's right.
He didn't say he wasn't right. I just said he thinks it. You can get all your Frosty mugs over there, and then also you can grab your Two River Sniper shot glass and shirt, and also your Flicker and Flicker and Flicker and Flicker and also Flicker shirts. So hop over there, check it out, enjoy yourselves. And now, Andrew, the other exciting thing that we have is that this is a rare episode for us.
Oh, I was like, where is he going with this?
Segway!
Didn't do anything.
Segway. They're really bad for getting you around, but they're really good in conversation.
Yeah. So luckily for Morshadi, he gets to hear the non-spoiler warning that he did for us. So we'll play that and then we'll get into the actual episode so that, you know, Critter just doesn't sit there and be like, why did I agree to do this? All right. Yeah.
I have geeking out to do.
Welcome to the Black Tower, a Wheel of Time podcast. All right, let's check this one. Well, look at that. This podcast episode is actually spoiler-free, and that's a BTP guarantee or your money back. What? You've already spent the money. Okay, so no money. But I'm sure they'll send you coins or stickers or... What? What do you mean you spent it on booze and don't have merch? Well, I mean, I guess they can give you a shout-out on Twitter or... What? What do you mean you're moving back to MySpace? Maybe they'll put you in their top 8?
You know, you joke about the move to MySpace, but the more and more I'm around social media, I kind of want to go back to the quiet MySpace where I can customize my profile, make anybody that visits listen to my music.
It's completely different now. If you go back, it's completely different. It is not the same MySpace that you once knew, I promise.
Yeah, I wonder if there is like any kind of Wheel of Time crowd like on MySpace. Like, are there like 8 friends that are sitting in MySpace chatting about the Wheel of Time?
I didn't know it was still around, if I'm being honest. I just assumed it was gone.
It's actually been owned by Justin Timberlake for a while, as far as I'm aware.
And he hasn't done shit with it.
He said that he planned to for a while, but nothing has come of it.
So his role in the social network was kind of prophetic?
Basically.
A little bit, yeah. I think actually it wasn't that it was prophetic. It inspired him. He was like,
There you go.
a social network. Why don't I just dip my toes into this? And by dip my toes, I mean spend some of my.
I dip my toes. I mean dive head first into the deep end.
Into something that's basically defunct and
into the revive it. Andrew, what are we discussing tonight? Since it's spoiler free, like, what can we even talk about?
I know, right?
I mean, we can't tell everybody about how Thanos comes out at the end.
Batman.
Wow.
That's the wrong book series.
Dropped it. I'm sorry.
It's Batman. Get it
it's
right.
It's time to give all those people their money back.
All right. Everybody send your orders to blacktower.com.
What is it, Andrew?
Blacktowerpod.com. Actually, send all of your complaints to P.O. Box, Amazon.com, Jeff Bezos, care of Jeff Bezos, please give me my Black Tower swag. And then maybe he'll listen to us, because if he gets a bunch of requests for things from Black Tower, maybe he'll look much.
Spam campaign. All right, what is it, Andrew? Walk us through it.
Yeah.
Give us the goods.
I'm probably going to cut that whole section out. I mean,
we don't want to
it would super suck if 4 days after Critters at the premiere, like an episode drops and like somebody sees it and they're just like, oh, they're ragging on Amazon. Why?
We're not.
Oh, humor, it's a joke.
We love you, Amazon. Amazon. We want to be Amazon. What are you talking
about? I want to rock
it. Okay.
Anyway, what we're talking about. So in an effort to avoid spoilers, and since on the day this goes public, everybody will be able to watch the first 3 episodes of season 1. We're going to talk starting a new read, as well as starting to watch a new show, and also how to kind of manage your expectations, especially as book readers and massive fans of the books, which... If Twitter has taught me nothing other than this, it's that expectations need to be heavily, heavily managed.
Oh, yes.
I think Dragonmount said it best. They have a tweet that they said, look, this is another turning of the wheel. This is the same exact story that we read in the books just 7 ages later. Yeah, so there's
What? Yeah, like after Dragon Mountain, that was Brandon Sanderson. Brandon. Yeah, they were quoting Brandon after Brandon's he went and kind of like got to look at some of the scripts and see what was going to happen.
But okay, so thank you.
I mean, you're not wrong. There.
No. Thank you for the correction there, because I'd like to give credit where credit is due. But this is I think that's the best description I've ever heard of it. So yeah, you're going to watch it. There's going to be some different things, but just know that it's still the same story. And even if this TV show sucks, which it won't, because it already looks amazing, we still have the books. It's okay.
That is true. They can't take the books away from us. They can.
And we already love the books.
Show, which, as stated, it looks like they're not. But Critter,
Yes.
I would like to hear from you first, and I think my compatriots are also probably on board that train as well. When you first heard about the show, when you first heard that they were making the show, when you heard, you know, who was doing it, you know, first castings, all of the different announcements that have been happening, as well as, you know, even into the very recent of all of the teasers and all of the things, what was your, let's say, excitement level, but also your, like, realism level, if those weren't the same, in terms of managing those expectations, in terms of being aware of, you know, things that you knew from other adaptations, all of that different stuff. What do you think? What were your thoughts coming into the announcement?
Sure. So I was hype level 1000, and I saw the way I found out that the show was going to happen was somehow buzzing around Twitter. Maybe a friend of mine sent me the EF5 cast, you know, the casting announcement. And I know that people knew about it earlier. I didn't, because I didn't know about Twitter of time or anything like that. So when I saw that and I saw who was had been cast, I immediately got so excited because it was immediately real. But I had also seen lots of fantasy shows based on books that I had read. We're talking Legend of the Seeker and The Sword of Shannara, and I can't even think of any others, but several, you know, several. And so I enjoyed all of those TV shows, even though I know that they were not what the books
not a commonly shared
intended.
Opinion.
I know. I went into it thinking I love fantasy. If I can get high fantasy on TV, I'm excited, you know, and I'm going to support it. And I'm not going to try and compare it to the books because it's something different. And it's going to necessarily be different changing from the page to the screen. Granted, Lord of the Rings wasn't that much different. But it's just a whole different ball game in that sense. And those are shorter, like way shorter than a series like The Wheel of Time. So I was very excited, even though I knew that changes were going to be made, because I didn't expect a 14 book. Changes. Yeah, I didn't expect a 14 season series. That just wasn't gonna happen. And immediately I started thinking, like, okay, this is what we can shave, this is what we can, you know, like that. Also, Jordan was incredibly descriptive, so all that stuff is going to be visual instead of having to read through it, which is going to save us space there. And so, yeah,
we don't need 4 pages of what her dress looked like
exactly, because we can see it. So I was really fully purely excited.
I'm just really glad that every time it says she smoothed her skirt can just be done with this. Just done. So, we're done. That's immediate. It's already over.
Fun story. I have right up here on my phone here, my Reddit post from 3 years ago, where I saw an article posted. It was an IGN article that said Wheel of Time and Dark Tower TV series works in the works at Amazon, August 16th, 2021. Mm-hmm. My caption was, I want to believe, because I had been burnt before. It's funny, you scroll down and it's like 50 comments of people being like, oh, there's no way, it's going to be garbage, it's going to be stupid. and then other people being like, hey, you know, we've come a long way and Lord of the Rings is really great, like maybe we can do this. But yeah.
Well, so we've now talked about that a couple of times, and I want to dive right in here in some ways, because one of the interesting things that I heard on NPR years ago at this point was they had a number of experts, and I don't remember why they were specifically experts, but NPR does their research, so it wasn't just a bunch of fucking idiots. They were actually experts, and they had 4 of them on. And they were talking very specifically about books to TV, books to movies, you know, adaptations of books to screen media. And they first started with a little bit of a conversation about how it works and blah, blah, blah. And then they went into the two sort of most important questions that they wanted to ask seemingly the entire show. It was like an hour long show. And there were two questions that they were just like, we need to get answers to these and fucking immediately. So they asked all four of these people what the worst book to screen adaptation was.
Oh no.
And these people sat there and they talked about it between themselves for a while, and they all had four different answers for what the worst to the best screen adaptation
was. Interesting.
And then they asked them all what the best one was. And all of them immediately, like, it was no hesitation, no anything, went Lord of the Rings.
It's my favorite like trilogy of all time. It's my favorite movies of all time. Right? I love them.
It's yeah, so absolutely good. And I just want to point out that, again, like, especially this is so pointed and poignant in this conversation because, as you said, the Lord of the Rings is very similar to the story on page. It's yeah. not that they made any, like, I mean, they did make a few sort of glaring changes in terms of the fact, you know, when you mention Tom Bombadil, when you mention like this, that, and the other thing.
The knives that pieces, Aragorn gave the hobbits that,
for example, yeah. there are a number of things that are absolutely 100% absent from the books to the movies. There are, even extended versions. But in the end, the story beats of everything in the book that matters end up on the screen. The yeah. characters that you actually really think are important and do right. something to forward the plot, with very, 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 very rare exception, are on screen. And so I honestly think that we have a good roadmap here. We have seen it done well, we have seen it done badly. And Amazon, obviously, I have not seen everything that they've ever produced. You couldn't. I'm not sure there's actually.
That would be quite a feat.
Right. But they seem to be pouring enough money, time, effort, and intelligence with the people that they've hired to do it, with the things that are happening, to make it good. Now, again, those expectations... Please don't expect every song from the book to be on screen. It's not Lord of the Rings. Please don't expect every Tom Bombadil to be in the on screen.
Well, it's not going to happen. Point,
it's yeah, to absolutely this point, not going to happen. But as one, long as they have those story beats, I think that we should definitely have confidence.
Right.
And also, you know, WAFO. We watch and find out.
Right.
And to that point, The Princess Bride is one of the more famous movies that are out there. I mean, many, 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 many people have seen The Princess Bride. If you've not seen The Princess Bride, you should go
change
watch
that
it
immediately.
It's
stop
classic.
Watching this. Go watch that.
Pause.
Watch this later.
This is your spoiler warning for The Princess Bride. Where the hell have you been? Right? But that a lot of people don't realize that is also an adaptation. Mm-hmm. Now, the book, from what I understand, I have yet to read it. I own it. I haven't read it
yet.
You're
the worst. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. But it's also, from what I understand, is a fairly decent adaptation as well. There are lots of like deeper subcurrents and details that you don't get.
Correct.
Okay, that happens.
Yeah.
There's backstory and motivation that you don't get in the movie. But for the most part, I would posit that it has that same, you know, it tells the story that the author originally intended to tell. And
it does.
They did an amazing, and you can tell they did an amazing job with it by all you have to say is The Princess Bride, and it's a household name. People know it because it's a good movie.
Well, and I love that it, one of my, I don't want it to happen. But also I really want it to happen. If the Wheel of Time started with someone telling their kid in the 11th age the story of the Wheel of Time, that'd be fucking amazing.
Where were
I think it should be.
Bias.
I think it should be an Ogier. I think it should be an
right?
Ogier.
No,
telling
exactly. It'd totally be Loyal telling his grandkids about, or like Loyal's grandson reading the travels of Randall Thor to his kids.
I would love
that. I love it.
Anyway,
that's so Critter. So obviously, whenever they announce, like, hey, we're going to do something new, we're going to bring a book to life on the screen in some way, shape, or form, especially when the pilot that shall not be named exists, it's gonna come with some fair apprehension. I just tried to look at it the other day, and I was gonna use a clip for like personal like memeage, but what I was looking for actually wasn't there, and I got only downloaded it like 480p. That's how long ago it was. Was there, or what point? At what point did you look at what was coming out about the show and go like, you know what? I think it's going to be good. If you didn't from the start.
No, that's just it. Like the first I heard of the show was whenever I saw the casting announcement. And I was like, I love this. I love all of it. Like, I think they're going in the right direction. But then of course, like one of the best days ever, whenever they released the teaser trailer, like I mean, all the little teasers were amazing up until that point, but that just like huge rush of visuals and
such
music
a good
and
day.
Information. It was such a happy day. And all of the things that I was thinking, this is going to be great. The casting is great. They seem like they really care about the fandom. They've got Sarah there telling them not to have Perrin talk to bears.
she's a book slapper.
Yeah, she's a book slapper. Like, all of that stuff felt good, but then when I saw it, I was like, yes, you know, yes. it was a really good day. So
okay, out of sheer curiosity, I've heard this now mentioned a number of times, and I remember seeing a little bit about this on Twitter of time. But I am curious, just because I don't have strong feelings on it either way, but it sounds like you do.
About the bears? Sorry.
Is
go
there
ahead.
A reason that would be that much different and like bad? I'm just curious.
It'd be so bad.
I mean, again, it seems like an unnecessary change, but like bad change. Would that actually be a bad change?
Yes.
It would be weird. Okay, first of all, Josh, I don't know if bears have
Critter,
golden. I don't know if bears have golden eyes, so we lose the pair and golden eyes thing. I think. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they have brown eyes, but don't quote me. If you're an animal lover, you also know that wolves are pack animals and bears are not, and it makes sense that they would travel in packs. The whole we come thing that I'm not going to explain because no spoilers. There's all kinds of moments in the book that wouldn't make as much sense if it were bears. And not
a
wolves.
Bear has dark brown eyes.
Oh, I was right. Okay, so there's
no,
that.
No, you were totally right. Yeah.
and that's fair enough. That's basically it. Yeah, I mean, honestly,
right, no, I those honestly
just make it polar bears and have it work like Super Saiyan. His hair changes.
That would be kind of awesome.
No,
super awesome.
No,
he becomes like half of all anime protagonists ever.
Dude, honestly though, now like with the wolves, a lot of them are gray, so they could still make that work if you just like fucking swing and just have like gray hair.
Just give him Richard's little swoop right there above the ear.
There you go, little
George Clooney wings, right.
Here's what I want to know. I mean, like I said, we can easily sit down and say, oh, wolves are better because
what
possessed them to think that bears would be good? Like, are they just trying to like, was someone just sitting there going, you know what, we got to change it for, like, I want to know what their reasoning was, because I don't believe someone just went, we have to change it just to change it. I think someone had a reason for that. Maybe they wanted like a bigger, more intimidating animal. I don't know.
It's also possible that you actually gave the reason in your reasoning for why wolves make more sense for the book. And that's that wolves are pack animals.
Yeah.
If you have one bear come in and wreck house, that is so much easier to CGI.
Yeah.
If you have 40 wolves come in and wreck house as much as one bear would, maybe not 40 is a lot, but like 10 wolves come in and wreck house, just the same way as like one, maybe two bears would. That is a lot harder to CGI, but it is way more
epic. Well, you do have dogs that look like wolves though. So like, that's true. I'm on the other side. I'm thinking that Amazon probably got like a focus group together and they were like, what's cooler? You know, what's cool, bears or wolves? And they were like, bears. Wolves.
And then somebody in the focus group was like, tigers, if we're just
yeah, I mean, right?
Yeah. We're just throwing around like big animals with claws. Sarah.
Like, yeah. I just imagine, like, the room was, like, sitting there, they're talking about Perrin the bear brother. And then Sarah walks in the room, and it just all goes quiet, and she's like,
what are you talking about?
I smell shenanigans. What are you doing? And then somebody finally in the corner was just like, we're talking about making Perrin a bear brother, and, like, they all just smell ozone. And she just goes, no. Moving on.
Yep. Okay. Let me just mix that real quick and move on.
Well, no, my favorite headcanon is that Sarah was out getting coffee one day and Rafe was like, all right, guys, so I have a really fun practical joke to play on Sarah.
That could be.
Get around. We're gonna change Perrin to talk to bears. And everybody was like, why would we do that? He's like, shut the fuck up.
Just go with it. Just go with
Sarah's
it.
Sarah's gonna freak out. It's gonna be hilarious. So then she came back in and he was like, all right, so we've all talked. We're changing Perrin to talk to bears. And just the vein right here on Sarah's forehead was just like.
I did see in the chat, which by the way, if you guys want to join us for these shows live, we do open up the show live to our Patreons. But I did see in the chat that someone did mention that they were trying to separate themselves from Game of Thrones. And of course, Game of Thrones did have the direwolves. And so I guess they were trying to not have too much of a parallel.
Which makes sense.
But it really does. You know, guys, there's going to be, it's high fantasy, right? Game of Thrones is high fantasy. Wheel of Time is high fantasy. There's going to be similarities.
People in Wheel of Time being high, but okay.
What do you think the Two Rivers Tobacco was? Come on. So which leads me to my next sort of, which leads me to kind of the thing
that. Why Sin keeps rethatching roofs that don't need it.
Hey.
Tobacco. That's what it is. It's tobacco. What are you talking?
What is, and it could, this could be either the, like the thing that you're like hoping to most be able to address, or the thing that's going to make you cringe the hardest, is when the TV show comes out and when people watch the TV show and they start putting up, you know, oh, look, I'm a Wheel of Time fan. Holy shit. There's already a fandom.
I'm a wheelie.
Which changes are you most, excited to or afraid of having to face when we go forward and we start bringing in new fans? For an example, like the wolves right here. If someone says, oh, wolves, of course, they're just copying Game of Thrones. No.
We asked them wait politely, for that, honestly. Yet okay. firmly to
actually.
Leave.
Actually.
Well, actually.
And that's
going to be your well actually moment.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. I mean, if I have to say the thing I'm most worried about, it's Matt. I don't want them. I love Matt. And the little description they have on the website makes it sound like he's going to be flirting real hard with the dark side. Let's put it that way. It does happen a little bit, but I'm just worried it's going to be more than just a little bit.
Does he flirt with the dark side, or does he get held down and
no
and, you know, whatever by the dark
no,
side?
No, I think that's the bad thing. Like, I don't know which way they're going to go with that, and I'm nervous about it basically. So that's the thing I'm scared about. You know, if they're like, oh man, he's such a, you know, he's such an asshole or whatever, I'll be like, no, he's not, you know, like, wait.
But, no, but he's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's just, I mean, I won't tell him because I don't want to spoil it for them as new readers, but I'll just, my heart will break until he comes back, basically, assuming he comes back.
You got to pull the Jessica Rabbit. I'm not bad. I was just written this way.
That's not bad. He's just drawn that way. What about you, Andrew? Do you have a moment, a well actually moment?
Not really. I have concerns, but again, most of my concerns for how things are going to happen deal more so with how the fandom is going to slash already has reacted to certain things, both in the negative and the positive, to where like the over kind of, I think there are elements of like suggested or potential changes that, I mean, a lot of this stuff we're gleaming from, you know, little tidbits that have just been thrown out there. And of course, by now, we already know that there's screeners out there and there's people that have already seen, you know, several of the episodes and all this. They kind of know how some of this is going to go. But obviously, you know, you don't lick a gift horse in the mouth and sit there and start telling everybody what's actually going to happen after that. Like, that's a good way to make sure.
In the mouth?
Look.
Is it look or lick?
Look.
I definitely said lick.
You definitely said that lick, and it made me laugh so hard.
Well, you don't do either. To be fair, you also do not lick a gift horse. That is also
a thing. Seems more dangerous than just looking in the mouth of a horse giving you a gift. I mean, I also don't understand half of the things in the world.
I mean,
what
does that phrase even mean? I guess I always thought it was kind of like you don't punch a gift horse in the mouth.
So when you were in the olden days, the way that you would age a horse, tell how old it was that you would look at the horse's teeth. Yes. So you would look in the mouth of the horse. And so the point of the phrase
is, if somebody's giving you a horse,
it's actually a real thing.
Of a horse, don't look in its mouth and figure out how old it is so that you can determine how good it is. Just accept the gift and go home.
That's nice.
There's some things that have like horrifying origins, like horrifyingly disgusting origins, like we're in the barrel now. Like,
or like a dead ringer.
Absolutely horrible. Yeah. Anyway,
that one's great. I'm
more so worried about how the fandom is going to react. I mean, we've already seen elements of the fandom reacting to the casting.
Are they really fans though?
That's why I put the quotations around the fandom.
Heavy air quotes.
We can remove them. It's okay.
Yeah. We'll cancel them.
I wouldn't say like remove them or cancel them. I just don't listen to them because it's the internet and I can choose what I do or don't read and listen to.
That's true.
Because it's the internet. Tailor your online experiences for sure. If something like keeps pissing you off, definitely just tailor it because it's not worth
it. What does the editor of time have to do with this?
Hey,
shut up. Get out. You're done. But that's where more of my concern. Yeah, that's where more of my concern comes from is like how people are going to react. And I don't want to see the fandom that has been built up, especially on like Twitter, that kind of stuff that we've enjoyed for years now, split apart because people are still very much, everybody has their headcanons.
Yeah.
But
Tower Hall, God damn it.
Too soon, Daniel.
It's actually two ages from now. How about you chill out?
it all comes down to, I think, more like awareness. Like, hey, you should expect things to be different. I would rather expect very big radical changes and then see the book see the show stay closer to the book than I'm assuming with radical changes than anything else. That being said, I don't think that there's necessarily any super radical changes.
Right.
But I also
just acknowledging they might happen is a good thing I totally agree. I didn't even think about the fact that, like, aside from the like border trolls who hate everything and will always and already do, there's like a good core of us that really enjoy each other's company and talk about this stuff and love it together.
Sure.
I guess that could fracture. God forbid. That would be so sad. We should all love it.
look what's happened with
expectations.
That is absolutely going to happen. Unfortunately, it is true that in any fandom, when you change the medium that it's in, and not just change the medium, but adapt. Because again, you're not just taking the books and slapping them into another medium. It does take a whole group of people. And they're doing their best.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give them like totally carte blanche to do everything, because there are sort of just objectively foolish things to do. There are.
Yeah, like change it but to at the corruption. Same
I think that was a good call, personally.
Oh, wow. You will.
I know. I mean, it's just an instant punchline. If you're ever talking about something serious in the context of the show, and then you say the taint, everyone's going to giggle. So, I mean, that is a fun part of the fandom.
That's the best part about it.
It's a fun thing. But at the same time, like, I get it. I really get why they did that.
No, but again, there are some objectively bad changes that they could make. There are some objectively... you know,
hashtag save the taint.
Giant, let Barney taint. What? but yeah, there are, other than that, there are so many different subjective things that I think we are almost guaranteed to lose certain members of the Twitter of time. Now, granted, I think that I hesitate to say this because it makes me sound dismissive. And I try not to be dismissive. I really do. But also, if that's the reason that you leave Twitter of Time or are vocally angry with Twitter of Time, have fun. We wish you well.
Stay mad.
And have
bro.
A good life. Like, it's like,
in
it's
the
like
words of
horrible Karen's
in the words
in
of the doctor
and being
Tom
like,
Baker,
I'll
goodbye.
Never take my business here
missed.
Ever again. And you're like, thanks? Like,
okay, that's fine. You're right. That's a good, it's kind of like a, okay.
Well, again, I don't want to lose anybody. I don't. So, Twitter of Time is a really great community that is based on some amazing books. And just about everybody who's in the Twitter of Time community, I think that the books are great, and I don't want to lose those people. That's not a desire. That's not a.
And we've seen this kind of thing happen too. Like, I mean, look at the whole Star Wars mess right now. Now, I love me some Star Wars. Like, I've got two loves, and my sci-fi love is Star Wars, and my fantasy love is Wheel of Time. Like. Call me a simple animal.
Way too many lightsabers.
No, and I bought another one today. I did.
No, Josh, you don't understand. You had the right number of them, and then you bought another one.
I bought the Darksaber today even. I'm stupid excited for it. So, but you've seen what's... but you guys have seen what's happened there. Like, you know, the Star Wars... fandom like as a whole was just like so good for so many years, and then these the rest of these movies have come out and people have just torn it to shreds. And I remember thinking numerous times, like, damn, I hope they stop making Star Wars movies, because I love Star Wars and I don't love what I'm seeing this story be subjected to. I don't love
we're
seeing
becoming
the story
the older group of
down
people
like that.
Like we're becoming the older group of people, and I think that is a big part of it too. The same reasons like we would kind of make fun or joke about like our parents and grandparents are being like, oh, back in my day, you know, I've done the same thing at work. Like
Star Wars. You know,
one of the guys at work the other day was talking about playing one of the newer Doom games. And I'm like, you know, I remember playing games where you had to, you know, pop out a floppy disk and throw another one in. And they're just like, what's a floppy disk? And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's when you had to hide a body.
So I can't imagine how it is for somebody that's like, you know, tantamount ancient like Josh here. So.
Wow.
Really? We're going there?
Ouch.
You're just going there. You're just dropping that.
Oh, man.
Cool. Because it's you. Cool, Andrew. And I can.
As somebody
it
who is. Turns 30 tomorrow, me. You can go fuck
You're the coolest
yourself.
Older guy I know. Oh, you turn
You're
30
pretty
tomorrow?
Cool for an old guy.
I do. I turn 30 tomorrow.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
Well, happy early Dude. Birthday. And...
Oh, thanks. That was not what I was fishing for, but also, like.
No, but also, but happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
like that's awesome.
Amazon is the greatest because they are giving me the show as a birthday present.
They released the Loghain trailer for The Gathering Madness, which was super kind of them. And now they're releasing the show for Daniel's birthday. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. This is great. They are very kind.
Yeah. So I think there are definitely like kind of elements of that where like, especially folks that have been, you know, done with the series or have read each book as it's come out and they've been waiting on something to happen, anything to even stand a chance of redeeming a TV adaptation or movie adaptation from that thing that happened. There's people that have literally been waiting, you know, like longer than I have been alive for this to be actualized and be on screen.
That's true.
And I'm sure there were people like when they saw how new Game of Thrones was and saw it going to the screen, but they're like, but wait, there's a finished series right here that is primed and perfect. Which I mean, as much crap as we give, like the, well, I don't know how much crap we give Game of Thrones outside of season 7 and 8. But there is something to be said about how Game of Thrones opened modern TV to high fantasy, to this more in-depth world-building fantasy, and showed and proved how it can be successful. Now, there are definitely still problematic elements of fantasy kind of commonalities on TV and screen that the Wheel of Time TV show was addressing that Game of Thrones didn't. So that's helping as well, but it's still opened the door to some extent, or reopened or pushed it further open, whichever argument you want to make. I don't really care. In that metric, it helped.
Yeah.
But at least our series is actually done and nobody has to make up a terrible ending season.
When it comes to TV, I think, I think the best way to put it
back and be like, oh, well, now that I know what the bad season, the bad ending of the story is, now I can change it.
So now I'm not going to do that.
A smart, prophetic
person. As far as TV shows go, I think the best way to put it is that Game of Thrones walked so that Wheel of Time can fly.
I'm gonna change that a little bit because I totally agree with your statement. I do, but I think I was actually gonna say that things like Legend of the Seeker walked so that Game of Thrones could run so that Wheel of Time can fly.
I like it. So that Wheel of Time could take a ride on Jeff Bezos rocket to the moon.
So that Henry Cavill could sit in bathtubs.
Yes. And
people that have come out like
Daniel Henney apparently is going to be sitting in a bathtub.
Pretty exciting. Lands
buns cross the hot bath. It's a new sword form.
That's a new sword form.
But it's been cool to see how many people have come out as like fans of the Wheel of Time, like Henry Cavill. And like I remember seeing like as soon as the like list of things he's into kind of came out and Wheel of Time was on it, people were like, you know what? Let's just make him like just king.
Dude, if Henry Cavill,
and we're pretty sure he hurt his leg just so he could build his own PC. Like it probably was perfectly fine. I didn't hear what Daniel said.
Henry Cavill said, "If Henry Cavill isn't
Ardor Hawkwing,
like that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Idris Elba, perfect. Ravine, Henry Cavill, Ardor Hawkwing. Calling it right now. Let's get it done.
I love it. And listen here, Billy Zane.
The next time, literally anywhere." Don't answer it. One of the few good Henry lines Cavill from an in equally the bath, bad movie.
You know.
All right, guys. I'm gonna
I'm bathing
for the next 30 seconds. Spoiler warning all the way through the series because I'm gonna fuck everything up. No. I know. I'm the worst. But earmuffs.
At least it wasn't me.
2, 1, dude. Can you imagine Henry Cavill coming back and just like taking the Horn of Valyr from the shadow and giving it to the good guys, like that thing that we talked about the other day in one of our last episodes, like fucking Demandrian, and then just like walking it back over, it'd be amazing. Anyway, okay, cool.
Okay, welcome back.
You're welcome.
Welcome back to the rest of the spoiler-free episode.
Yes. It was so 30 seconds.
For people that are going to be starting, so for there's going to be people that are going to, and people that already have seen the news of the TV show coming out, and people that are going to start watching the show, and they're going to want to read the books to see what's different in the books. And we already know we're going to be talking about like, well, they did this in the books, and they did this in the, and they changed it or did it differently this way. In the TV show, and it's not necessarily like a they're wrong for doing
talking
it, whatever.
About that on the podcast, I'm never telling my friends. They have to read it
oh, yeah.
if they
want to
know.
Oh yeah, well, I definitely agree on there. I'd be like, yeah, if you want to know how it's different, you got to go and, you know, read the books. Definitely
not
don't find us
guy.
Talking about it or anybody else talking about it online.
I'm not gonna be the guy sitting on my couch being like, well, actually in the book, like fucking ugh, I hate that but guy so much.
To what I was going to say, people that are just now getting into the series, wanting to read it, or people that are going to get into the series and reading it once the show comes out, especially if we have like a year between seasons coming out, what would be some advice that you would give, Critter, to somebody that's going to start reading it? Besides, don't read New Spring.
I was just going to say, start with Eye of the World. Don't start with New Spring. Eye of the World is a stronger book, generally, in my opinion. And then New Spring means a lot more once you've gotten a lot more info about the universe, in my opinion. And, you know, just enjoy it. Don't try and blaze through it too quickly, because it's a long, long series. And if you need to take breaks like in the middle to read other books, even though I can't imagine why you would need to do that, but you may. I mean, that's fine. And just know that, you know, people find different sections of the series entertaining and not entertaining in different ways. So I've heard, and I can't imagine how this is the case, but I've heard people say the first several books are boring. I don't get it. I disagree, but some say these things. Others say there are certain ones toward the length. People are saying, some people think that there's the slog in like the, you know, 7, 8, 9 range. But if you like politics, you're not going to think it's a slog. I don't think it's a slog. And then
if you like politics,
you're going to like the middle. But then the end, some people complain, you know, Brandon Sanderson changed Matt, whatever. And so they don't like the end as much as they might have. But you know what? Like, I loved the end. And maybe I'm biased because I love the whole thing. But I would just say that if you get to a point where you're like, I don't know if I really like this. First of all, it changes. Every book is different. And second of all, just know that the end, you know, it's worth it in the end to get all the way through. Like, I can't imagine myself not having read them all multiple times, really. But it's such an amazing journey. And when you look at it all, like the sum of its parts, it's just incredible and totally worth the time. So that's
how nice it is to hear somebody else say that they enjoyed the political things that happened later on. Because there's so many people that are like, everything else is a reprieve from that. And I'm like, for me, it was a reprieve from everything else.
Yep.
Wait, yeah. You mean,
but I also like
have
a degree in political science, so I'm a nerd anyway.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's going to be bleeped out.
Yeah. So
why? Because I can.
I know. No, I love it. I did that just for you, Andrew.
Oh, thank you.
No, I also want to throw out there, I completely agree with Printer. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love this series. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't think that it was completely and utterly worth it. However, I will also say that every one of the four people that you see wherever we are on your screen, all of us are fantasy fans. If you are not a fantasy fan or a sci-fi fan, and you start reading the books, and you get to a point where you have given it a serious chance and you still are not enjoying yourself, stop reading the books. Stop it. You can do that. That's fine. Don't, because as Critter said very, very concisely and very nicely, each book is different and they all do very different things. And I can almost guarantee that there's going to be a book that you actually think is dope in this series. And probably multiple of them, but don't.
So Josh's laptop just died, by the way.
Yeah, basically.
That's why you see is.
Yeah. But also,
he's stuck in like perma half dab.
Enjoy the show and don't put yourself through reading the books. If you're really, again, give it a chance. Don't just read the first five pages and go, oh, this is dumb, and put it down forever. That's not giving it a chance. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you really don't enjoy it, get better taste. But also after that.
Well, also, like, don't judge it by the prologue, because yes, this is an unpopular, probably, opinion, but that is far from my favorite part of this book. It's not I do not like the prologue that much. And I warn people that I recommend the books to about the prologue. Like, trust me, this is completely random. And once you get to chapter one, it's not going to mean anything for a long time. And they're like, oh, okay. So,
almost
yeah,
like
don't
a
judge
short...
them.
Yeah, it's almost like a prequel short story that's thrown into the beginning. And I mean, I think it's one of those things that once you get further in the series, at least, and you kind of actually understand some of what the hell happened, then like at that point, you can appreciate it more. But it also is predicated on you having knowledge that you only get from reading the books.
Which so again, is I generally tend to err on the idea. Yeah. It's like there are multiple prologues to this series.
Yeah. But I tend to err on the idea that it was included because Robert Jordan wanted to kind of hint to people that you're going to want to go back and reread, or you're going to want to consider things from earlier books that have implications later on.
Mm-hmm.
Still, maybe not the best choice to throw it in there. Like, maybe that should have been like the epilogue instead of the prologue. It might would have made more sense as the epilogue. Maybe not that much more, but a little more.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the unpopular opinion of I fucking love where it's placed. I think it's great.
I don't
necessarily think that it's the best introduction to the story, but reading it, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is this book. And then I started reading the actual book and I was like, this is totally different. And then at some point it goes like this. And I love those moments. I absolutely love those moments. And if you are a Wheel of Time reader, and I'm guessing probably a television show watcher as well, there's going to be a lot of these moments where shit just makes sense. It's not as insane as like Westworld or things like that, but there are moments where you like, where you sit there and you go, you know, in whatever it's going to be in episode, like season three, episode four, where you're just like, oh, I totally understand episode one, season one, episode two. Like there's so much of that in this book series. And I really hope that they keep a certain amount of that in the show. I really do.
Well, how much happens in the books that when it happens, you're like,
no, exactly.
What?
Yeah.
Why? 100%. And then you go back and reread, or you like, you know, look it up or whatever, and you remember all the things or are reminded of the things that happened in earlier books or earlier chapters. And you're like, oh, Robert Jordan, you sly dog. Okay. Okay.
Indeed.
Yeah. Looks like Josh is working on coming back in.
Yeah, no worries.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes, but
well, hopefully he'll be in for the very end. But
yeah, so we've kind of talked about, like, you know, little like tidbits of suggestions for starting reading the series after, like, especially after you've enjoyed like season one. But I think the best advice that we've talked about, and one of the best frames of mind that I think for people to be in regards to both the show and the books, is to manage your expectations. If your only experience thus far with the Wheel of Time has been to watch season one or part of season one, and then you're going to go and read the books, still manage your expectations. It's going to be different. There are going to be things that are changed that may be more or less, I don't want to say controversial or problematic, because I don't think anything's going to change to be more problematic. But there are going to be problematic elements that you may not see in the TV show that you're going to pick up the books and go, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
They have been created in two different time periods. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things.
Product of the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Accurate.
I mean, that's one of the things we can kind of hail the TV show for.
They've upgraded some stuff.
Yeah, they have the opportunity to change stuff that should be brought up to date with the times, and things that will or should be done or can be done better on the screen or more easily on the screen. Like, again, we don't need, you know, 10 pages of describing every last stitch on somebody's dress and how they smooth their skirts and cross their arms underneath their bosom or their ample bosom, which is a very common phrase. I didn't realize it until somebody pointed out, and I was like,
wow, huh. Yeah.
Fair point.
Jordan was a boob guy. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the best people are. I'm just kidding. Also, I just want to throw out there,
I'm a total package kind of person. If it all works, it all works, and that's all that matters.
I think ample bosom is actually a perfect phrase, because ample bosom is what it is. It's not saying that it's very large. It's not saying that it's very small. It's just ample. Whatever you're
like saying, the perfect amount of diggity instead of no diggity. Yes. And exactly. An overwhelming amount of diggity.
Right amount of diggity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. To steer it in a different kind of direction.
Yes. Completely.
But yeah, so we can see, like, the fandom online is already kind of trying to do a little bit of, like, self-policing with managing expectations. Yes. Like, you know, things as simple as they seem of Brandon coming out very early on after kind of looking at some of the scripts and being a consultant for the show and being like, it is the story, but it is the story seven ages later. Like, it is a more up-to-date version of the story, which to not update things would be just weird. And I think Robert Jordan would want it updated.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Well, and of course, again, I certainly don't want to necessarily rag on the show, like future rag on the show before it's even come out. But there are plenty of shows and movies and books and things that you look back at and you go, oh, yikes. From many years before. And I'm not 100% a forgive every book and every movie and every TV show and every conversation and everything.
Oh, look at the toddler
being you know, of
the one time. And only giveaway we ever did on TikTok,
and I won.
I think that's how we found you and wound up actually meeting you.
Correct. Yeah, that's, I joined your Discord that way.
And I've regretted it, and you've regretted it ever since. These guys are nuts.
It's been a joy, a true joy.
But I will say that, I mean, in 30 years from now, maybe 35, 40, depending on, you know, how long it takes the show to come out and whatnot, I would imagine that there are probably going to be a number of problematic things in the show as well, because that's what happens when people evolve. That's what happens when society gets better, is that things that were commonplace before, in the before times, are no longer commonplace. And a lot of them are improvements. And that's good. And that's how we actually, as humans, look at how far we've come is history. Mm-hmm. And the products that were made at that time, and, you know, things like that. And so I would definitely encourage anybody who is starting the books for the first time to not necessarily forgive everything that's in them, not necessarily blow past everything that's problematic, but accept it for what it is and what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And allow those things to wash over you rather than get stuck on them. Mm-hmm. Just like in, you know, 40 or 50 years, people watching the show for the first time will absolutely be like, that was a little bit of a problem.
Acknowledge and move on.
Yes,
acknowledge and move on.
100%. Yes. Yeah.
I'm hoping the TV show does a lot. I'm hoping the TV show, well, I mean, I do hope the TV show does a lot. but I'm hoping the TV show does a lot of what I feel the books do. So instead of getting, again, just getting like bogged down in the things that are negative or that are problematic, instead of getting bogged down on them, use them as launching points for conversations, for like for actually useful rhetoric. You know, saying that something is bad and identifying it as something that's problematic or is an issue is still good, but it shouldn't stop there, because you don't fix anything that's bad or problematic by just saying that's bad anyway, moving on. So I would prefer, and I'm hoping that the show allows for it, for those conversations to happen on the elements of the series that are problematic or that have implications. And there's plenty of things in the books that it's fairly obvious Robert Jordan included to be talking points on how to make a better, or talking points for society to evolve and change and be better as a whole. I'm not saying that he wrote the entire series just to try to tell all of humanity how to, you know, achieve utopia, but it's like, hey, I'm writing this or starting to write this in the 70s after fighting in Vietnam, and I live in the South. Here's some things that you should intrinsically hate. I mean,
and of course, I love that, you know, as you said, I also agree that, you know, Robert Jordan wrote this story because he wanted to write the story, and it's a great story in and of itself. But there are so many things in the story that from book one to book 14, the characters, the nations, the X, the Y, and the Z all do actually change.
Or they maybe not all do. Of them. Well, yeah,
but, not all of but them. Again, enough of them that you clearly know that it's a talking point. Like, it's a thing that he did intentionally. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just, like, he puts his money where his mouth is in terms of the, and again, even if you're just ignoring the last three because he didn't technically write them himself and it was another younger author, even from book one to book, you know, 11, you still have things that drastically change. And typically for the better. And so definitely, I think that you're totally right about that, is that obviously, again, I mean, Robert Jordan was without a doubt a product of his time as well, and a product of his experiences. And I'm not saying that he was, you know, the most progressive person in the whole world or anything along those lines, but I do definitely think that he wrote a number of things into the book to start conversations, to talk about it, to show the world, or at least, you know, anyone who is going to be to read the books, a little bit better than what he was taught or what he learned or what he grew up with or what he, you know, noticed in the world or X, Y, or Z.
Oh, wow. Josh is appearing and freezing immediately upon joining. Oh, nope. There he is.
There he is.
Trying to get set up in a new location because apparently I was not plugged in, but I thought I was, but I was not. But now I am plugged in. So,
and he's standing. Very intense.
It's healthy. That's a good
I'd like to thank Starbucks, closed Starbucks, for providing me with this lovely power desk table.
Starbucks, sponsors of providing the Black Tower podcast in the future.
Providing you with energy.
Right. Hey, Starbucks. Hey, Starbucks, be a sponsor. Do it.
So, this might be a good time, now that we have Josh back, before, you know, all other kinds of crazy things happen, like the internet goes out, his laptop is plugged in, dies again. So it might be a good time to kind of get some final thoughts on the topic. All right. Of today's podcast or episode or whatever you want to call it.
I would say
since you're the most likely to get yeeted out of here by the pattern.
Okay, Josh, let's hear it.
I would like to just say, kind of reiterate what I've been saying, and that is that we're taking a written medium and changing it to a visual medium. A book is specifically created to cater to your own personal imagination and what your brain can think up. And so writers get a lot of, you know, they use a particular set of skills to do that. Television producers and movie producers also have a specific set of skills that are different from, not entirely, but several of them are. that are different from what authors do. They are creating a medium that is appealing to your eyes and to your brain as well, but mostly it's a visual medium versus a brain medium. I don't know how to say that. But it's two different things. So guys, when you watch the show, first off, they can't change the books. The books exist. The books are the way they are, and we have them, and we love them, and they will always be there for us, no matter what. Secondly, a word-for-word retelling or lifting of the books into a TV show would be horrible. So manage your expectations. We have empirical
evidence of that.
Expect to come into this as a fresh telling of the story that we love so much. And above all, just have fun with it. I mean, really, just enjoy it. That's it. That's my final two. I logged back in to give you my two cents because it is important that you hear what I say.
I just keep watching all the people walking past you.
Right.
They're all like, what the hell? This guy thinks he's important. Well, I am.
I mean, you are holding a microphone, so.
I am. It's all official and shit.
You should talk to other people in the hotel and be like, hey,
I wanted to
on Ashaman on location.
BTP in the wild. If I had longer cords, I would.
Has anyone ever told you that you talk like Paul Rudd?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you do. Like, I haven't seen you like talk like visually before, as well I have, but like not a ton. And I keep getting reminded of Paul Rudd whenever I
look. Oh my God, it's so hideous.
That's how you know he likes the compliment. His voice went two octaves up.
Okay, well, you're welcome then.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make it weird. I just kept thinking it, and I was like, I should just say it. I mean, I gotta just say,
and we prefer it here at the Black Tower. Just whip it out.
Okay. Always.
Done.
I was about to say, what have probably been weird moments. You're not the culprit of most of them. At least not most of them. I don't know if you're the culprit
What are your final thoughts, Critter? Since you're a guest, you should have gone first, but the taint has affected my setup here.
Okay. Well, I always go into this. I feel like you said it really well, but I guess something I can add to that is I always go into things that I want to like with a positive attitude, acknowledging that things are going to be different, but just being excited that they're there in the first place and trying to enjoy what you're seeing. I am thrilled that this is happening. I'm still in a state of shock and disbelief, and I don't want to lose that whenever I see my favorite book series translated onto the screen. So I'm just happy, and I recommend trying to be happy. I mean, some degree of, like, you know, how you take something is up to you. So just maybe decide that you really want to like it instead of not like it, and maybe you'll end up.
Never be happy.
I know. That's just it. Just decide to be happy, and you know what? You'll probably end up happy. I feel like Josh said it really well, but that's my little two cents about making that choice for yourself.
I love it.
Can I just say, Critter just gave you really good advice on life.
Yeah,
not just the show. Yeah, that's how but I just life.
Go through life.
Like, definitely this show, but also, like, take that not for the show and, like, other places.
It's like when Mr. Miyagi said,
be happy,
parents, not just for karate, parents for whole life. That's what Mr. Miyagi said. That,
yeah, there you go.
Indeed,
you're welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
Daniel, we're now gonna start a new podcast. It's called Critter's Life Lessons.
Hello, I'm Critter, and here are my life lessons. Did I do it right? Was that very radio?
That was perfect. That was great. We're gonna use that for the
play.
You could do like a Dear Abby thing on Twitter, and just make your new handle just Critter on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Oh my gosh, I need to change my normal account to that. That's not a Gwaine, obviously. Gwaine is established. I have another one though. I should change that to Critter on Twitter.
Have that one.
I love it.
That's courtesy of the Black Tower.
Gift.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
The Andrew special. Just thrown out great nicknames.
So Daniel, what do you have to say to all this hoopla?
again, couldn't agree more with Josh and Critter. You guys have said it very well. I am going to even go sort of a step further, though. Whether you are listening or whether you are watching the show for the first time, I mean, all of us are watching it for the first time, but whether you are watching it with no basis or
for yourself, I have imagined it extensively in my mind.
Right. Or if you are a book lover and you are watching it with so much foundation, just watch the show.
Like the makeup? Just
watch the show. Yes.
The makeup. Precisely.
Kill you later.
Give him the wine.
Get the wine. So my recommendation in the way that I plan to go into this is to watch it as though I don't know what's going on. I want to be surprised. I want to be, you know, there are going to be differences and I want to know those differences, but I also want everything to come as something new. And in my humble opinion, I definitely think that if you watch it expecting something, you're going to be disappointed because people are bad at expecting things.
Yeah,
you either do it too much or too little, just about every time, always. So just don't expect it to be the books. Don't expect it to be the greatest series you've ever seen in your life. If then you are mistaken, and it is, how much more excited are you going to be that you walk in there with like, I want to like this, as Critter said.
It's a new story.
And it's a new story, and I want to believe. But also, like, I'm just going to go in.
He's beginning to believe. Sorry.
Without setting your sights
excited.
Too high. And so I, as someone who has read the books, I just am looking forward to the changes as surprises. And I
love it.
Definitely recommend that as if you are too married to the original medium, I think that you are doing yourself a disservice. So yes, so go in there,
I agree,
ready to
I
be
agree
surprised. There you go.
Love it. I love that.
Andrew, what do you think?
Give us our last poignant moment of aha-ness.
I mean, I don't know what I could say that the three of you haven't already said. I mean, fantastic points. And I mean, it's an echoing of kind of at least the overall kind of message that I think this, at least this episode, whether it was intended or not, generated, is that it's going to be as great as you allow it to be. A lot of it is going to be based off of your mentality going into it. If you go into it, it's just like anything else. If you keep your mentality focused on a certain aspect of something, then that's the lens you're going to view everything through. So yes, if you're already so much into the camp of it's going to be terrible because I don't agree with X, Y, and Z for whatever reason, then you're going to watch it and think that it's terrible because you're still focused on the things you don't like. But if you go into it open-minded, acknowledging that it is going to be different from the books, that it is a very different turning from the books, but it's still the same core story, I would wager that you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I have no way of knowing, because just like everybody else, except for the fact that this goes public on the 19th, so people will have watched it by then, that I haven't seen it, but
yeah, that's it right there.
Patreons, be very open-minded. And I think it's going to be great. You know, if nothing else, worst case scenario, view it as an offshoot of the series that you've read. And it's just another interpretation of it for you to enjoy. And if nothing else, it's bonus content for you. All that being said, if you are listening to this when it goes public on the 19th or later, myself and Daniel will be traveling to Ogden, Utah to watch the series with Josh. I will be watching episodes 1 and 2 for the first time, and the three of us together will be watching episode 3 together for the first time. Because all the fan screenings are too far away from me to realistically drive. Also, is me taking time off of work to travel the end of the week. Not to mention the time I'll be taking off of work in April and maybe May and definitely in July. But even more exciting
happening.
Yeah. So many even more exciting. For those of you that don't know, we are actually joined by Madam Ambassador here. Indeed. Critter is of course going to be
the wheel.
I was like, who? Is there going to be another guest?
Another surprise guest?
What?
We're actually talking about your cat.
It was you.
Your cat is the ambassador. I could have been wrong about Madam. I don't know.
But... I don't know what the requirements are to be a Madam.
You just have to be classy.
I don't know if your
awesome.
Cat's male or female. That's all I was getting at.
Oh, they're boys. So yeah,
So Mr. Ambassador, that we've seen kind of sneaking around in the background.
you noticed,
but
skulking.
Yeah. But yeah. So and I will say, and I told you I was going to say this whenever I sent you the tweet before I tweeted it out, just to make sure that if I tweeted it, there was no like impression that you had told us or anything like that. I didn't want to cause any trouble.
Totally fine.
But I called it.
You called it.
At least on Twitter, I think I was the first one that you're going to the premiere. And you will be on the red carpet and you will be interviewing cast and crew live on Twitter.
I can't even
be joined by a bunch of people.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Hey, season two, chill out. We'll get our time.
So go ahead and take your time machine or your time glasses and just go ahead and jump forward to after that happens. Tell us now how awesome it was, and then
just incredible. I mean, I don't know. I can't believe it's happening still. It's cool. One of the coolest things that's ever happened to me in my entire life. So I'm really excited. Cool. I'm really excited.
I don't know for
well,
for
it
me,
couldn't have having... happened to. A more awesome person, if I do say so myself.
Thank you.
I know for me, as someone that's kind of been in the kind of Wheel of Time fandom, at least online sphere for around the TV show since late 2018, and kind of like working with different people and doing content for now into our fourth year? Jesus Christ. To see somebody that's come into the fandom and has grown and makes such amazing stuff. Like you do on Twitter and on YouTube and on Twitch and on literally everything that you're on. It's fantastic to see you get to go to the UK, and we're really happy for you. And I would say we're not responsible for any of it, but we're definitely proud of you. So
I think you helped. I think you absolutely, I don't want to say I'm on the shoulders of giants because I'm not. I'm just hanging out with the giants, but it feels really good. And you guys were some of the first ones who like really brought me in to
speak for yourself. I'm 6'3". Get the fuck out of here.
We will be with giants because Nameless is there and he's like the same height.
He's
as Trump,
yeah, he's
so.
Like 6'5".
Yeah. Have you got to meet Nameless yet?
On video, but not video. In person. Not in person.
He's
don't be afraid. He is huge. Not a trollic.
He's such a good guy though.
We've been over this that he's like 6'6". I come from a really tall family, so I'm used to people being super tall. So I'm not that worried. I'm not super tall, but I'm used to it.
So as we wrap this up, Critter, I think you're also starting a new show as well, are you not?
Yeah. We had our inaugural Wheel and Chill show last night. It's very exciting.
Throw it out there. Let everybody know where they need to find you on social media.
Okay, sure. So I started with the Winespring Cafe and Taveran Tavern a live reaction show that will be airing on Monday nights after the show starts. And we're just going to be talking about the episodes, you know, after they come out. And it's all very exciting. And it's going to be on my Twitch and my YouTube. So it's not like a separate Wheel and Chill show YouTube or anything like that. You can just find it on the Critter XD Twitch and YouTube because I'll be doing it at the same time. So yeah, our test run was super fun last night. We talked about some of the teasers and stuff that we've gotten. And I'm really, really excited to be doing it after all the episodes air because, well, for one thing, it means that the episodes will be out and that will be really very excellent.
I guess this is on YouTube. You could kind of call it a YouTube short, but it is from your TikTok. I saw one of them absolutely blew up, like 45,000 views. How does that feel?
Literally, I don't know. I post almost all of my TikToks on YouTube as shorts, and that one I think was the one about Tom being hot.
Yeah, why isn't he real?
Why isn't he real? Which is so random.
It was like 11 seconds of just gold, and it blew up.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't. I don't know what they use to decide. And you know what? I don't know what TikTok uses to decide what goes viral either. I think it's completely random. They're like this.
They hit the viral button.
Yeah, that's it. It's like one out of a million just gets to get spread around a little bit. So
people in the background staring at us.
So that was
that's the exact process.
Yeah. So well, I imagine it's everywhere that you are. It's CritterXD or Critter_XD to find you. And if you want to hear Critter talk more beyond our own content. You just did a live stream, I believe, last night with Nablus on Nablus's channel, right?
Did, yeah, I did. After the Wheel and Chill show ended, I hopped over to Nablus's channel.
Because,
busy night.
High in demand.
I know, right? Sometimes.
And she's here.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We got her.
Well, like, we coordinated this for like, or tried to, we started coordinating this like at least, what, a month and a half ago at least? Yeah.
You guys have booked me way in advance, like way before everybody else.
That's what we tried to do.
We knew we had to get our reservation in. Like, come on.
Oh, gosh. You flatter me. Stop.
All right. So definitely go follow CritterXD everywhere you can online, not in person. Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Don't
be weird.
Please.
And check out all the amazing content the Critter's made. It is all fantastic. It's hilarious. I'll sit there and scroll through TikTok at work and be like about falling asleep, and then suddenly it's like, ha, with the time, it's funny. I mean, it's a better laugh than that, but
okay.
For our stuff,
I went to go put my yacht in the water the other day, and the loading dock wasn't
Stop it, Daniel.
Sorry, we can stop.
So for stuff, no,
this
we're
is
doing,
quality entertainment. This is why they're here.
After the first three episodes drop publicly live for everybody on the 19th, the very next day, the 20th. For those of you that don't know, one of our fantastic patrons, Smack or Matthew, whichever you know him as, created the rules and the entire metrics for a fantasy draft based off of characters from season one. And we can provide those rules and information to people that want to host or run their own fantasy draft. We are making the caveat that because some of us are going to be seeing part of the season on the 15th.
You can't change anything after the
14th.
You're locking it on the 14th. Get out here.
Cannot change anything after the 15th. If you're going to run it and do your own kind of fantasy draft, those are all your metrics and how you want to do it. And if you want the kind of rules or guidelines to that, hit us up on our Discord, hit us up on Twitter, any of that kind of stuff. Smack has made it available to us so we can make it available to everybody else. And we want to expand it and kind of do more kind of stuff with it whenever season two comes out, because season one is going to be kind of part trial run, part us competing with each other, because I don't know how much of a competition it's going to be, because I'm going to get all the points and these guys are going to be crying when they lose.
I mean, but I know it's not going to be much of a competition, because Moraine's going to give you a few points, but the whole rest of your ledger is going to be goose egg, Andrew.
Goose egg.
You know what? You'll get to see just how dismal your chances of winning are on the 15th whenever I still haven't seen it. I won't even know how bad your chances at winning the draft are going to be on the 15th, but you will.
Oh, it's going to be cute. I'm just going to have 4 days of knowing I kicked your ass.
Whatever helps you sleep at night. Anyway.
Thank you, everyone.
For any of our stuff, again, blacktowerpod.com. Go and check that out. It also has a link to our fantastic sponsor, Josh's Better Half. The Crystal Barista. Make sure you go and check out The Great Blight as well, and New Creations by Jen for a ton of amazing content creator and just Wheel of Time fan inspired Wheel of Time merchandise. Also, if you're listening to this publicly, there should be a lot of information just recently came out about a certain Wheel of Time oriented convention.
Yes.
Go and check it out. And make sure you follow WattCon Official on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, everywhere that you can find it. to get that news that's coming out. It's going to be epic. It's going to be great.
I know best.
I'm excited for you guys to find out. I know Critter's excited. Josh is excited. Daniel's excited. Rafe is excited, even if he doesn't know it.
he knows it.
Sarah's excited, and she does know it.
Rafe listens to the show, so.
Nice. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, dedicated listener.
Totally. Totally. Yes,
100%. Yeah. And doesn't miss an episode.
Ever. Yeah, that is not fake. At all. Anyway, but Critter, thank you so much for carving time out of your schedule. I mean, well in advance, but also still today. we know the past several weeks at a minimum have been absolutely bonkers for you.
Yes.
And again, we can't say how excited we are for you and how fantastic it is to see you making the strides that you're making.
Thank you.
But that is going to do it for this episode, where we sit around and remind you to manage your expectations and to be excited about something to come that we're all going to love and is going to exponentially expand the fandom.
Oh, yes.
For those of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, I have been Andrew, your Bijan Mihail.
I have been Josh, your Soravan Mihail, and I hope that you have enjoyed this weekly dose of taint.
Indeed. And I have been your Amon Khan Mihail, Daniel. And from all of us here at the Black Tower, again, thank you to everyone who listened live. You guys are the backbone of this podcast. To everybody who's listening on Friday, the 19th, you guys are awesome. We are so happy to have you here. You guys are amazing. And to anybody
the other days too.
After that, you guys are awesome too, and we welcome all of the new people. We are so excited to have you guys here. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. I know that I speak for the other two that we couldn't do this without you. Actually, we probably could. We'd probably still talk, but it wouldn't be a show. We wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be nearly as entertaining.
It wouldn't be nearly as cool. So thank you so much. You guys are amazing. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening.
Always running the show.
In the tower, you can bring your pain. In the tower, you can feel the strain. You've been having so much trouble, just fitting in.